Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Last week in our study of this topic of anxiety, we did a quick review of several texts that we've been looking at, several texts that include this word anxiety or worry in the original language, and words that are translated anxiety or worry. And I'd like to go through that little review once again, because I think it is pertinent to our text this morning. And so, if you're willing to work with me, and I hope you are, let's do that quickly. And we turn, first of all, in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. And there we find the Lord Jesus speaking about this whole subject of anxiety. And this is really where we began this present series. Matthew 6, verses 31 and following. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Those of you who were here last week remember that when we ended with this text and others, we momentarily asked God, God, give us grace that we might seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and therefore not be anxious for the future or what we will eat or what we will drink. God grant us that grace. Then in Matthew chapter 10, just a few pages, Matthew chapter 10, we find that word anxious again in verses 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Do not become anxious, Jesus said. God, give us the grace in those situations that confront us to have hearts and lips at your disposal. Give us that grace, O Lord. And then again in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13:22, which says, and the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. O God, give us your grace so that the worries of this world will not choke the great word of the kingdom that is sown in our hearts, and that that word will bear fruit. God, give us your grace to that end. And then we see Luke 21. The passages in Matthew have their parallels in the other Gospels. We go to the third Gospel now in Luke 21, where we saw great words of Jesus, where Jesus gives this exhortation in Luke 21, verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a thief. Luke 21:34. Be on guard, Jesus says. Oh God, give us your grace that we may be on guard and not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day, the day of Christ, come on us suddenly like a thief. Give us your grace. Oh God. You see, this is exactly, friends, it's very interesting to me. This is exactly the direction Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 is taking us. Amazingly enough, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 is taking us to prayer and how prayer is linked with this whole matter of anxiety. Listen to our text again in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The lesson this morning is summed up in this, really, that on one side, there are the anxieties of our lives, and on the other side, there is the great plan and purpose of God, which is in control of all things. And the link between the two is prayer. How wonderful it is. Let's pause for a moment and come before our God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, there are many anxieties in our hearts. We thank you, Father, that although we cannot possibly control all the contingencies of life, and literally we are not in control, we thank you that you are the sovereign God, and that we are in your hands. And we thank you, Father, for this text. Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we come to you, Father, asking you to work in our hearts that the very anxieties with which we are wrestling at the moment might be eased because of our recognition of who you are and our recognition of your greatness. So bless us as we look at this text. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God exhorts us. Do not be anxious. I can hear the response in our home, yeah, right. Do not be anxious. But that's the exhortation, isn't it? And it's an exhortation in keeping with the words of Jesus that we just read from Matthew chapter 6. Do not be anxious then about what you will eat or what you will drink or with what you will clothe yourselves. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, what tomorrow will bring. Do not be anxious. And so the message of Scripture is very consistent, isn't it? We could look at the same thing in the Old Testament. And interestingly enough, refusal or to act or failure to act is sin. Let's lay that out there so that we can see it plainly. Refusal to act or failure to act is sin. Sins of commission and sins of omission spring from hearts which are sinful, spring from what is known as original sin. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell? The sinfulness of that estate whereunto man fell, consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. Original sin is that corruption of our whole nature which springs from the first sin of Adam. We come into this world with our natures, our human natures, not being innately good, as many would have it, but being corrupted by the sin of Adam. And therefore, folks, we are anxious people. We are anxious people. I think that has to be seen. We lack control in this life. Isn't that the case? We have said repeatedly that anxiety is a control issue. And we lack control. Who of us in this room this morning can say that we have everything under control? I know that I don't. And all we have to do is look around us a little bit and see some of these floodwaters, and we know very well we don't have things under control. But we also know very well, or we should know very well, that God is the one who has the ultimate control. And the problem is, because we are anxious people, we do not see the control of God the way we should. And I say this morning that our anxieties spring from the fact that our hearts tend in the direction of anxiety because we are anxious people. And so our anxieties amount to sin in the sense of sinfulness. We are anxious people. And our anxieties amount to sin in that we do become anxious. We engage in anxiety on those two counts. Now, keeping this in mind, I want you to look at our text again. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. It's very interesting that we find this text is embedded in a series of exhortations. Look at verse 4, for example. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. An exhortation. Verse 5, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Another exhortation. Verse 7, well, we should jump down to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Another exhortation. Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Another exhortation. You see, Paul gives us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a series of exhortations. And the one that we find in verse 6, be anxious for nothing or do not be anxious, is just one of a series. This helps me. And the reason this helps me is that I see, because we have a series of exhortations here, that Paul is pointing us in the direction of Christian living. He's not particularly zeroing in on anxiety, although we are zeroing in on this subject in this series. He's not particularly zeroing in on anxiety, but he's laying this out in a series of exhortations, and he's not expecting us to not be anxious under our own power and under our own strength, as he's not expecting us to follow the rest of these exhortations under our own strength. What Paul is talking about here is the process of sanctification and how God works out in us new life. In the background is the earlier part of Philippians. Look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You see, not being anxious, rejoicing always, and these other exhortations are part of the process of working out our salvation, of working out the implications of our salvation. And we don't do that under our own power. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. How are you going to follow the exhortation of Philippians 4:6 and not be anxious? Are you going to do that on your own power and with your own strength? Never happen. I see some of you shaking your heads, and you know very well that it's not going to happen by your own power and your own strength. Work out your salvation, because it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, you see. This whole proposition of overcoming anxiety is part of this process of working out your salvation and working out your sanctification in the Lord. And there are wonderful rewards of grace that Paul gives us for following the exhortations, one of which is, don't be anxious. Look again at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In our kitchen this week, we were talking about this upcoming sermon, and I heard these words from a member of my family. She said, you know that the rest of my family is all female, and so she said, can't we just skip over Philippians 4:6 and get to verse 7? Can't we skip this exhortation, do not be anxious, and get down to verse 7? And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I said, well, you have to work on verse 6 first to get to verse 7. And the reward of grace is amazing. That's what we need to see. And we have the same thing in verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. How we long for that peace, which is the very opposite of that anxiety. And Paul says, pray, pray. And this peace will come. What a wonderful thing we have before us. You see, the Holy Spirit's answer to anxiety comes in these words: let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. You see, the very presence of these anxieties in your heart and in my heart betrays what? Need. Isn't that right? Betrays the fact that we are people who live in a sinful, fallen world, and we do have needs before God. And so, what are we to do? We're to let, as Paul says, our requests be made known to God. As we do this, it seems to me that we're back with this whole struggle of our lack of control in life. And we kid ourselves. I really believe that we kid ourselves if we think that we're going to get control over all the contingencies of life. It'll never happen. In the Sterling Cafe this week, one of the fellows told this golfing story, which I thought was pretty interesting. He says it's a true story. He said these fellows were golfing, and it was a stormy day like some of these days that we have been experiencing. And this foursome was walking up the golf course, up the fairway. And there's a big tree in the fairway. And here comes this bolt of lightning and hits the top of this tree. And when a big bolt of lightning hits the top of a tree, what do you see? Yeah, there's an explosion, and this tree just goes everywhere. And so these guys, these golfers, you know, are carrying their golf clubs, steel golf clubs, right? They've got spikes, steel spikes in their shoes. And so they're thinking to themselves, we got to get out of here. So they throw their golf clubs down on the ground, they take their shoes off, and they run and they hide the gully. Because there's all this lightning going on. In the clubhouse, some folks see this tree explode because of the lightning. So they think, man, we better get out there and see what's going on. See if anybody's hurt out there. So they get in a golf cart and they zoom out there to the golf course. And they get out there and they see golf clubs scattered around. And empty golf shoes. These guys have been vaporized. They're thinking to themselves. Everything is out of control. Of course, these fellows are in a little ravine over here protecting themselves. But what do we think when we see lightning like this? We think it's all out of control. Except when we read the Bible, we understand that the lightning bolts themselves are in the absolute control of Almighty God. Everything is in God's control. And that little situation on the golf course and our situations in our daily lives are not out of control. I thought about pausing here and preaching another sermon at this point. We could preach on predestination and election and God's sovereignty, you see. This is not a sermon on election and predestination and God's sovereignty. Although, isn't it true that all these things, these doctrines of Scripture are so important, and our perspective on the living God is so important? And what is prayer, folks? Prayer is an acknowledgement of the control of Almighty God. That's what it is. That's what prayer is. Prayer is an acknowledgement that we don't have things under control, but that God has things under control. The saying is that every individual is a Calvinist in his or her prayer closet. I think that's true. Because in the end, that's what prayer is. An acknowledgement that we cannot guide and direct and contain all the things that are going on in our lives. But surely God is doing it. And I'm thankful that this is the case. And so prayer is this kind of acknowledgement. And when we come before God, we have or should have prayer as in our minds as an answer to the anxieties of our lives. Look at our text again. Do not be anxious, Paul says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Do not be anxious, but let your request be made known to God. Phenomenal thing. As we bow before God. We're going to see this a little bit more fully in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7 next week as we look at another text that has to do with prayer. But for now, let's get this understanding before us that God is the one before whom we bow. And God is the one who graciously works through prayer as a means of grace to bring to us an answer regarding our needs. I want to jump up and down about that. I really do. That excites me. The whole concept of prayer as a means of grace. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption? That's the question the Shorter Catechism asks. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption, the outward and ordinary means are His ordinances, especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. Each of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. Prayer is a means of grace. Prayer is one of the great means whereby God brings about His purposes for His people. How wonderful it is. And so, be anxious for nothing, Paul says. But let your requests be made known to God. Do it, folks. Do it. How? That's the next question. The Holy Spirit also tells us when and how we should make our requests. This comes specifically out of our text. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious, but in everything. When are we to make our requests made known to God? In every circumstance of life, we are to make our requests made known to God. This exhortation encompasses every piece of the fabric of our lives. Everything. Every circumstance. Every contingency. Now, I can hear the question coming. Does this mean that I have to give thanks for evil? Does this mean that I have to give thanks for miscarriages of justice? I could be wrong, but I'm in the majority on this one. Most people in this country think, rightly or wrongly, that O.J. Simpson is not going to be convicted of murder. And most people think that's going to be a grand miscarriage of justice. Now, we don't know all the implications of what's going on in that trial, to be sure. But that's a majority position in our country. Do we give thanks for miscarriages of justice? Do we give thanks for miscarriages of babies? It's amazing when you bring up that subject how many families have lost a little one, as our family did. It's amazing how many families have been involved in that circumstance. Do we give thanks for that? No, 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 no. We do not give thanks for evil. But I'll tell you what, folks, as we discussed it in our earlier class this morning, a good God has a good reason for what He brings about in our world. And in every situation, God is doing something. And in every situation in which we find ourselves, God is doing something good. I'm fascinated by Romans 8:28 at this point. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. It's not a cliche. All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. Romans 8:28 says all things are working together for good. God has a good purpose for everything which is taking place in our world. I'm thankful that that's the case. I can stand before you this morning and say, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the years that we have spent in Sterling, Kansas, USA, have been some of the most tumultuous, the most emotional, the most anxious years of my life, and in many ways, the life of our family. It's amazing. But I can also say that these have been some of the best years of our life, of my life, because we have seen God work for good in the lives of so many people. And I'm really glad for that. I really am. And so there can be thanksgiving. Look at our text again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in every circumstance. There are a couple of more words here for us to look at. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. This word prayer that the apostle uses does not mean that we just easily converse with God and say, well, Lord, I've got a little problem today and I wish you'd take care of that and I've got to be on my way now because I'm late for my work. That's not what the word means. The word that Paul uses in this text means prayer which comes out of specific situations and is earnestly directed toward the living God. Years ago, I remember being asked to pray in a military chapel. It was at Fort Jackson, outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And Irm and I just had a little bit of time left in the Army, and I was participating in this service, and the Vietnam War was winding down, and there was a lot of concern for the POWs in Vietnam. And right before the service, the chaplain that was leading the worship service asked me if I would pray about the POWs. And I stood behind a podium and found myself anguishing in prayer for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes and crying out to God for those POWs. And I remember that so well because there were a number of people who came up to me after that service and said, we're really glad that you were asked to pray. And it's that kind of calling out to God and anguishing before God that Paul is talking about. Last Lord's Day morning, I couldn't sleep, and so I tossed and turned for about an hour. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I found myself with my head buried in our sofa in the living room, crying before God. Oh, God, this situation in which we're involved has got to be brought to resolution. And I found myself in tears for some time before God. And that's what Paul is talking about here. In everything, with prayer in supplication. To pray is to labor, it's work. The word supplication means that we continuously come before God in prayer. It's not just a brief time of prayer. There have been times in my life when I have been before God on my face in a chair, praying over a situation for months. And years. I remember very well when we got out of the service and And I was seeking the face of God for a call, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And I got a job as an engineer, and I sought the face of God, and it was for weeks, and those weeks turned into months, and those months literally turned into years as I sought the face of God. That's what this means. With prayer and supplication, making your requests made known to God. And you know what happens? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the reward of grace as we utilize prayer as a means of grace and see God work in our own lives and the lives of our family members and the lives of our friends to quell anxiety in the midst of very tumultuous situations. Where are you in your prayer life? I know that there are anxieties. I know that's the case. What's the answer? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Are you following Philippians 4:6? Are you following this wonderful word of God? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Work in our hearts that we might, in everything with prayer and supplication, truly make our requests made known to you. And may your grace flood our hearts and minds as we are engaged in prayer with you. May that be the case. And may, O God, may anxious hearts that are here this morning find rest in coming to you. Grant it, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.